All right. Well, hello. If you'll excuse me a second, I have short legs. I'm going to try to get up on this. Here we go.
All right.
I'm in. I'm settled in now. Okay, good. I do this at restaurants, too. You'd think I'd be a pro at it by now, but no. So, hello. We're glad to be with you here tonight. And she said our names, but this is David.
David.
I'm Tara. We have been married for 22 years. There we are. Yep.
Look at all that hair.
Yep. It's nice. I wouldn't let him get his hair cut before the wedding, and that's what it produced. So I just want you to know, ladies, if you struggle with control, that's the result of being too controlling. Okay? You need to let that stuff go.
I'm not sure it's that bad, but yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. We have two children, Sam, who is 20, almost 20, and Faith, who just turned 18. And this is a picture of our family. That's our kiddos, and that's us snowmobiling, which is something I thoroughly enjoy. It's probably because I also drive a little too fast around here as well. So if you see me on the road, grace is going to be needed. I'm so sorry. But yeah, so we moved to Texas in 2019, and we brought COVID and a snowstorm. You're welcome. So ever since we've been here, every time we have a conversation with friends, like, is this how the weather is? Or is this normal? They're like, just since y'all moved here, I don't know what's going on. Like, what did y'all bring here? So we're sorry about that. During that time, you can imagine we have had to really lean on the Lord. If any of you have ever moved, especially from a place you lived most of your life to another place, you start completely over. And it really becomes obvious what you were depending on. Were you depending on Christ, or were you depending on the comforts of home, the familiarity of things, restaurants and places you know to go and all of that? So those have been the things that we've been dealing with this year and really grieving losses and trying to make adjustments. And in that, we've had to learn a lot about what it means to abide with Jesus, like he talks about in John 15, which is the passage we'll look at tonight. But before that, before we get into that, I do want to just say that one of our favorite things to do together is laugh. And we just want to share a laugh with you tonight. So now, this is David and I, one Halloween. Is this 2005?
I think so. So you don't know Tara probably very well, but whatever she does, she is just all in. If you can't tell from this picture, she worked for about 6 months to grow that mustache, and it turned out really well. So she's just full in with whatever she does.
Yeah, that is not true. So now you have learned that David exaggerates things.
Okay, so anyway, we were going to speak last week, but got interrupted. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was the aftermath of Valentine's Day. So I know that seems like a lifetime ago, but Valentine's Day was just within the last week and a half.
Some of them may have not been able to have their dates until just this
Maybe. Time. So whether it went well or whether you are dealing with some regrets, one of the things that you're probably feeling is just that the love that the world offers fades. So Valentine's is kind of where we see, what does the world think about love? What does it tell us with about how we should love one another? And I think Tara and I both, we've had some really good Valentines and some really crappy ones. And either way, you know, a day or two later, and it's like, okay, well, that was great. And it's easy to chase that good feeling, that high, especially when you see pictures on social media from other couples and just the guys that are putting us all to shame and like renting a plane to spell something in the sky or whatever. This was last year, Valentine's Day for us. We went to the Hilton Anatole downtown and just trying to try something.
We don't know if that's how you pronounce it. We're sorry.
If it's not it, I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about though. And so we thought it'd be awesome to get away for a weekend. No kids. We left both of our kids at home. We got down there and we discovered that we were going to be sharing that hotel with 6,000 other kids because on that same weekend, the International Teenage Convention for Jewish Teenagers, just the BBYO, descended on that hotel. And so we were navigating that gauntlet all weekend.
Those people were hopping. Every time we got in the elevator, somebody had a boombox. It was amazing.
So it was interesting. We got a different side of Jewish culture that weekend. And so one of the things that we've talked about is just, you know, we love celebrating. We put efforts into trying, you know, make special memories and stuff like that. And it's great to celebrate each other and celebrate love. If you have any friends that really aren't like super intimate or super affectionate, that time of year you can really see all of a sudden he becomes Prince Charming and she's Cinderella. And they're doing things that just aren't natural like the rest of the year. And it just feels really a bit contrived and a bit forced.
Yeah, and we have experienced in our own marriage and in our own lives that you can have a similar dynamic in relationship with Jesus. And what that looks like is if we don't really know him and come to see him as he is and come to enjoy him and abide in him, we'll try to do the right things without his power. And so that makes it feel inauthentic and forced, doing the right thing. It doesn't fit us well. It doesn't come naturally. And so that dynamic played out in my life a lot of times and still does sometimes, where I keep forgetting that it's the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, not the fruit of Terah. And even though I'm sure a lot of you can identify with this, I have woken up many a morning and thought, you know what? I'm going to be loving today. I'm going to be a nice person. I'm not going to yell at my kids. I'm going to be really kind. And I would just go through the list in my head. But then, I mean, within 5 minutes of being in the kitchen with these jokers, I'm like, my head's spinning and like, what happened to me? Who am I? Okay, the fruit of Terah was produced. That's all that happened. Because I'm not abiding with Christ. I'm not abiding with Jesus in a way that his life is going to live out through me and produce the fruit that I need to see.
So we can often try to achieve a healthy marriage on our own, through our own power. But the truth is that a personal relationship with Jesus is the only way that we can really be a healthy person. And then two people following Jesus is what produces a healthy marriage relationship. So we have to remember that he's the one that produces that. So tonight we're going to look at the way Jesus describes a loving relationship between himself and us, and how a correct understanding of that relationship can lead to more joy in our spiritual lives and with each other.
So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 15, but if not, it's going to be on the screen and I'm going to read it to you. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full.
So Jesus' focus in this passage is the relationship between him, the vine, and us, the branches, and how to maintain a healthy connection there. He says that if we have a healthy connection with him, then the life that's in him will flow naturally into us and produce healthy fruit, the fruit that Terah talked about in Galatians 5. An analogy that I like to think about when I think about that that connection there is just our hearts or our soul are kind of like a sponge. And whatever they're sitting in, they're going to soak up, right? So if they're sitting in, you know, you're spending time thinking about Christ and praying and reading his word, you're going to soak that up into your heart. So when life gets tough and you get wrung out a little bit, then what's going to come out of you is what you've been soaking up. Likewise, if you have been spending time thinking about your desires, you're sitting in a pool of pride, anger, and frustration, and all these things, then That's what you've been soaking up. So when life gets tough, that's what, when you get wrung out, that's what's going to come out, a spew of anger. And I have definitely had my moments where that's happened. So what we see is that the fruit that comes out of us, or what gets wrung out of us, is really just an indicator of the inward state of our heart, whether it's healthy fruit or rotten fruit. It shows what's going on internally. And so we have to remember that if we build our life on Jesus, then he will produce his fruit in us. It's not up to us to produce that. It's up to us to stay with him, to remain with him, and then he is in charge of the production of fruit. If you notice in that passage, the word abide is said 10 times in about 7 verses. And repetition is a way of just kind of emphasizing something in a Bible passage. And so if you think about that word abide, we're just going to focus on it for a second. It really means to remain or to stay with. So Jesus is telling us to stay with him. There's another verse in Romans 3, verse 11, that says, no one seeks after God. The full verse says, no one understands, no one seeks for God. So that's telling us that in our natural state, we don't want to stay with God. We don't want to remain and abide with him. So in order to abide with Jesus, we have to figure out how we fight against that natural pull away to our own flesh desires. So we need to, as we learn to fight against that pull, we have to remember that it's not just an intellectual understanding. Oh, okay, now I understand that dynamic exists, therefore I'm not going to do that. I wish it was that easy. Just the heart condition is not improved by mental conditioning. So you can't just understand something and your heart's immediately changed by it. We have to seek to know Christ. Like Tara said, there has to be a familiarity there. And so we need to seek to understand and know Jesus, and then he'll produce his love in us. So with that understanding, with that foundation of how do we fight against that pull and how can we learn to spend more time with Jesus and abide with him, we're going to look at some practical ways that we can fight against that natural tendency to pull away from Christ.
So we want to share with you 5 characteristics of those who abide with Jesus. And these are things you're going to want to look for in your own life on a daily basis. Does this describe you? And then we're also going to have a question for you to ask yourself on each point, so that you can really just use these questions as reflection questions on a regular basis to just check your heart and check in with whether or not you're really abiding with Christ. So the first one, you're going to love this, it's an acrostic, it's going to be easy to remember, is A, admit your weakness. So verse 5 in John 15 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you're like me, you like to read that verse and go, okay, well, they don't mean nothing. I mean, I can do some things. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. So I'm with you. I like to bargain a little bit on that and think that maybe I'm capable of certain things, but the reality is that is not what this passage says. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And so for me, that means not letting my flesh and my view of things skew what is really true. Because that's the trap I fall into very frequently, is I go, oh, well, that looks good. And then I go after what I think is good. And then God doesn't allow that to happen. And I think, well, why are you not giving me good? Well, I'm assuming that I know what good looks like. So that's me being wrong immediately, right? God knows what's good because he is the only one that's good. And so a question you need to ask yourself about admitting your weakness is just, do I really believe that I need Jesus in every moment of the day? Do I really believe that? And that's a way for you to just check your heart on that one.
So the second characteristic, B, is believe Jesus' words, which are truth. So verse 7 in that passage says, if my words abide in you. So Jesus is telling us, hey, my words mean something. You need to believe what I'm saying. They need to remain in you. One of the ditches that I have fallen into in the past, and I can continue to still fall into occasionally, is just a lot of self-doubt, self-loathing, negative thoughts. And on the outside, that can look really humble. David's not really arrogant. He's not really proud. He doesn't really promote himself a lot. He's super just kind of, easygoing with himself. But internally, there's this dynamic of doubting and hating and just kind of not really thinking kindly of myself. And so I've struggled a lot, a while, with just letting what Jesus says about me trump what I say about me. Now, I have a lot of experience and a lot of information to back up why I think what I say about me should rule the day, but Jesus is saying, no. Here's what I say about you, Jesus. And so if I'm going to be someone who believes Jesus abides with him and really lets his love penetrate and affect my heart, I've got to believe what he says, even if my experience and my emotions are telling me something different. I've got to realize that what's not reliable is my own feelings and emotions. Jesus is not the one who's not reliable in that. So a question to think about is, do I allow my thoughts and feelings to override what Jesus says?
And the I is invite others in. So it's really easy to get in this mindset that, oh, okay, this is just me and Jesus. I'm going to abide with Jesus. And it's just going to be a me and Jesus thing. And as long as I'm good with Jesus, then we're good. And although Christ is clearly enough, and he is the one who changes a life, the reality is we have blind spots. I know I do. Like, I frequently, to be honest, the two of us getting married is just the laugh of the century, because he's more of a self-loather, and I really honestly think too much of myself. So, I mean, you put the two of us together, and it's just a riot. It's a laugh a minute.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. So, just saying, I'm more prone to not invite others in, to speak into my life, to say, hey, Tara, I don't think you're seeing yourself clearly in that, because I'm way more likely to over-exaggerate how good I looked in a moment than I actually did. And so I need other people to speak in and say, hey, Tara, you know, you need to work on that, and you need to work on this. And okay, thanks so much, because I'm likely to ignore those things because I like to think the best of myself, right? So we want to invite others in. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself until it abides in the vine, neither can you. So we want to abide with Christ, and then we want to abide with people who are abiding with Christ and let those people know us and speak into our lives. And that's a really tough thing. It's hard. A lot of times we just dismiss what people are speaking to us because we say, oh, they don't know me well enough to know what they're talking about or whatever. I've done that myself, rejected somebody's wise counsel because I didn't think they knew me well enough. But the reality is I didn't let them know me. So you got to let people know you, let people in, invite them in to know you. And then over time, they're going to be able to really speak into your life from God's word and really help you grow in ways that you can't on your own. So that reflection question you really want to ask yourself is, do I humble myself? Do I humbly allow others to know me and to speak into my life?
So the fourth point, D, is decide to submit to Jesus' plan for you. So verse 2 says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is obviously at work trying to get us to the point where we're producing fruit. But that sounds painful. Being pruned does not sound like a pleasant experience. There's another verse that talks about a similar dynamic in Hebrews 12:11. And it says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so what we're talking about is getting the things out of the way that are going to keep us from producing fruit. And that is self. Self is what gets in the way and blocks Jesus' work in our hearts. And so what we've got to do is let him do the work of pruning. And that is painful. Man, that's painful. And one of the things that Jesus is working in my life right now is just, Tara talked about the transition from Georgia to Texas, and we had an easy, comfortable life in Georgia, and we left a lot of familiarity, and that's what God is showing me in my own life is depend on me for comfort and satisfaction and joy instead of familiarity and a nice routine and an easy life that you know. And so I had to repent of a lot of those attitudes. So a question to ask is, do I want to be connected with Jesus enough to let go of the things that are in the way? Because those things, we want to hold on to those. We have to prefer Jesus more and be willing to let those things go.
Yeah, and the last one, E, is enjoy Jesus. Verse 11 tells us that the reason he calls us to abide in him is so that his joy may be in us and that our joy will be full. I just love that. That's amazing. And Todd, our pastor around here, says, God is not trying to rip you off. He's trying to set you free, right? He wants you to experience the most joy, the most freedom. And he knows ultimately you're not going to experience that if you don't abide in him. And so he calls us to enjoy him in that. So the point of being connected to Jesus is to experience joy that is not fleeting, like the love we talked about on Valentine's Day. But learning to enjoy Jesus enables us to battle our sin more effectively. And as we enjoy him more and more, we enjoy sin less and less. And we pursue the things that we find enjoyable. So the reflection question here that you want to ask yourself is, where do I turn to find joy? And if my answer is not Jesus, then I'm off. I have an idol somewhere. Because that is where my joy is found, in abiding with Jesus.
So just as we close out here, just want to remind you, there will be difficulties in life, in marriage, in relationship, but Jesus wants us to persevere in faith and allow those difficulties to deepen our relationship with him, because he knows that an abiding, deeply connected relationship with him is the most joy that we can ever experience. I want to read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians. This is Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. He says, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." I've been there. "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." Anybody need a resurrection tonight? "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." So there's an ongoing delivering that Jesus continues to do in our life as we continue to abide with him and look to him.
Yeah, so we want to encourage you to take these notes and take them home and regularly check in with your heart, check in with each other, ask each other these questions at the end of a day, and ask these questions to really check, like, are these characteristics, are they part of my life? Am I abiding with Jesus? And evaluate your heart in that moment. If you see things but you don't really know what you're looking at, pray and ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. How do I need to grow? In which ways am I not abiding, Lord, that I need to change and work on? And I do want to just encourage you that it'd be really easy. We have the tendency to look at this whole abiding concept and we just see work harder, try harder, do better. But this is about being with someone, right? Isn't that what the quote on the thing says? Anyway, I don't have a handout, but there's a quote by Nathan Wagnon on there that abiding is about being with someone, not doing something. And so just keep that in mind, that we feel like the only thing we can do is to do. But sometimes just resting and trusting and surrendering to Christ is the answer. And so we just pray that you will do that in your own lives individually, and that as a result of that, you will find yourselves coming together closely in marriage as well. Thank you.
Thanks for letting us share.